Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore some ways, old ways and some new ways, some adapted ways to celebrate New Year's Eve and to bring in the new calendar year. So I invite you to join in, and whether you're listening on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, CSNP, or you are watching live on my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page, I invite you to join in the celebration, for this is New Year's Eve Eve. So what to do tomorrow? I'd like to share with you some experiences and approaches I've had, as well as some of the customs for bringing in the new year from around the world and across time. New year drawing near. New physical cleansing, sweeping, vacuuming, scrubbing, an energetic cleansing, burning some incense, playing some music, just doing a ritual to cleanse out what is not needed. Another cleansing ritual that I've had as part of my life, and this year, instead of having a big bonfire outside, I'm having the hearth fire inside, which has been part of New Year's Eve traditions for me as well. But the idea is that you symbolically put something in a fire that you kindle or have burning on New Year's Eve to release it, to dispel it. So one of the things that I've used are twigs and other things left over from gardening. I do a lot of herbal harvesting and gardening, so when I have some twigs left over from having dried the herbs, I put them in a basket, and then New Year's Eve, I pull out some of those twigs, and I cast them into the fireplace with wishes to dispel things that have been problematic. And clearly, something that we can do energetically with casting into the fire is some symbol of the coronavirus. May this, which has killed so many people, harmed so many people, upended economics. Well, I think a really powerful way of doing cleansing work on New Year's Eve is to symbolically send this virus off to some other dimension where it's no longer harming humans, creatures, the environment. So you can do a banishing that way. A house blessing on New Year's Eve can be a really powerful thing to do. And this year in 2020, we have full moon time. Actually, the moon is officially full tonight, but I'm of the tradition that the full moon is full when it appears full in the sky, whether you can actually see it or not. So that gives you at least a three-day orb to do full moon celebrations. So, good time for home blessing as well as New Year's Eve. A self-blessing. Cleansing yourself with a joss stick. I've got frankincense here as a way of blessing the space, blessing myself. Some people like to do a ritual shower or a ritual bath. So the idea of cleansing away what's not needed to make room for what you like to bring in to the new calendar year. Now, I see New Year's Eve as an extension of winter solstice. And certainly those of us in the Northern Hemisphere that celebrate Yule may have the concept of Yuletide that goes over many days and nights, not just the day or two before and after and on the winter solstice. So I'm one of those people that have the beginning of Yuletide starting right after American Thanksgiving and getting ready for the Yule. And the first part of Yuletide is, some people call it Advent in some of the Christian traditions, but essentially getting ready and decorating and having all of that joyful energy and building up to the winter solstice time, which also I celebrate for several days and nights and include Christmas and the day after Christmas, also known as the Wren Day and Boxing Day, St. Stephen's Day. Well, after that, we move into, from the heart of Yule, the prep for Yule, the heart of Yule, into the transition into New Year magic. And clearly, going from new solar year to new calendar year is a wonderful way of tying all these different happy holiday times together. So as we go into the new calendar year, one of the real amazing things about this, and this year it is the full moon, is that everyone on the planet, whether you can see the full moon or not, is under the full moon. And whether you totally embrace the calendar year system that most humans do, well, you're in the orb where that is a very global reality. So we are all going into the new calendar year. One of the things that I like to do as part of New Year's Eve preparations is to look at my planner from the calendar year now getting over and look at my notes, look at things that I've done and accomplishments, and it's a year in review. And I also get the calendar for the next year. I have a Circle Sanctuary calendar, which we've been publishing for a number of years, and so the 2021 calendar will go on my calendar spot in my house. And as a way of symbolically moving into the new year, as well as actually going into the new year. So it's a time for calendar review, plan review, and calendar change. And that can be really fabulous. Another thing that you can do as part of New Year's Eve is to make time for yourself to not only look at that planner and look at your calendar from the year passing, but to spend a few moments and reflect on different aspects of the year. You might take it month by month, or you might go by concept. What were some of my favorite moments of this calendar year now passing? Make a list of them. What are things that I'm grateful for in this year now passing? Make a list of them. What were some things that I've learned about myself in this year now passing? Make a note of those. What are some opportunities to do something different and better in the year ahead? Now that starts getting from assessment into envisioning and planning. But another thing to reflect on. And yes, New Year's resolutions have been part of New Year traditions across cultures, around the world, across spiritual traditions, since the most ancient of times. Now, one of the things about New Year's resolutions, sometimes in the joy and enthusiasm of the big reset on the calendar, some people get really exuberant and make lots of resolutions, and then a few days later, they're all gone, like nothing happens. I think an easier approach is to make a list of possible things you might consider doing as part of what I call the calendar shift repatterning. Not to get a big, long to-do list for yourself, but to brainstorm some possibilities. And then as part of that meditative process is to take a look at what you've listed and then pick something very specific and something that's doable and something that has a time limit. So you might, for example, indicate to yourself, I'm going to spend a few minutes every day when I get up reflecting on how my sleep has been and letting a message come to me from my dreams and from my sleep time and noting it down. And I will do this for the month of January. Well, one of the good things about having it time specific and very quantifiable is that you can try it out. And if for some reason that doesn't stick or really work for you, well, there is more months in the year to try something else out. It's much better to have a short-term goal and something very doable, and to incorporate that into your life rather than getting really overly ambitious about making change and then having all of it fail. So I know some people want to have greater health in the coming year. So that can be a good resolution, but make it really specific. Okay, I will try to eat more fresh fruit every week, and I will try to eat 3 pieces of fresh fruit in a week, and then have a way of tracking that and doing that, making it easy for yourself. So the resolution part is something that can be challenging, but it can be fun as well. And another thing, as part of what I call the calendar reset, is to allow yourself to get some guidance, not only from your cognitive analytical consciousness, but to go deep into meditation. Pay attention to your dreams. See what guidance comes that way on New Year's Eve, if you get some sleep, and to do some ritual. So one of the ways of doing ritual for guidance for the new year coming is to do some form of divination. Now, one way that I like to do divination is with a system of cards. Now, tarot cards, there's so many decks now. When I started reading tarot and got my first deck back in 1969, there weren't too many decks to choose from, and it was really somewhat hard to get a deck. That was before the digital age, and you could go order things online. Well, I have my original deck that I still use, and I also have added some other decks to my life. And one of my favorite ones is a goddess oracle deck. I do a lot of work with goddess spirituality. And what I like about this particular deck is that it not only has depictions of goddesses, but goddesses from across different spiritual traditions and cultures and places in the world. So, I would like to share with you some divination techniques. Perhaps the easiest one is to do a one-card divination. So, how do you do this? Well, you bless your deck, and you might smudge it. I have some frankincense, which is connected with the sun, with blessing one's home and self, spiritual practices. It dispels what's not needed and energizes what you're working with. It is a sacred cleansing and energizing tool. So I'm blessing my deck with the frankincense. Next thing, pick the focus of what do you want to find out, what kind of guidance, and write it down. Have a journal and pen, if you can, or a piece of paper. If you keep your files digitally, or with audio, okay, use that. I'm kind of old school. I like to actually write things down and not have to worry about devices. I'm in a rural area where not all the time does the electricity, the internet, and the phone work, but having paper and pencil, kind of old school. All right. Write down what your focus is, then pick your method of card layout. So with the one card spread, if you pick the focus to be guidance for the new year for myself or for my home or for my relationship, I'll leave that up to you. But I'm going to shuffle these cards and do a divination to guide me in my podcasting work in 2021. I have two podcasts. I have my Encore podcast on Sunday afternoons, and I'll also be having something for the new year this coming Sunday. And my new podcast, which is on Wednesday nights, Nature Spirituality. So Nature Mystic is kind of the best of some of my past podcasts, and Nature Spirituality, that which are my newer podcasts that I create each week. So I'm focusing on podcasting. I'm focusing on getting a card that will bring me guidance. And how long do I shuffle these cards? How do I shuffle these cards? Well, everyone has their own method, but I keep shuffling until I get a sense that I have the card that I feel called to do, to work with, that's on the top of the deck. And once I get a sense of it, then I hold my hands there, and if I get a sense it's done, then I will turn the card over and get the message. So, okay. So what's the guidance for me? The one card, Rhiannon. Ah, the Welsh goddess of horses. And the message is, choose an action to reach your goal. Now is the time, the horse goddess. So, wow, how do I interpret that? Well, first of all, a good way as part of divination with cards is to hold it before you, and besides reading what's on it and having an understanding of its meaning, let the goddess speak to you. And I really think part of what this is encouraging me to do is to do some creative things with podcasting in 2021. So stay tuned to see what Rhiannon and I are going to hook up for 2021. Now, a variation of this one card system, my guidance for 2021, you spend all this time getting the right card on top, you look at it, you reflect on it. What is something that's hidden that you need to pay attention to? Turn your deck over, and what is on the bottom? And I have the goddess of healing, Lispa. Healing pointers lie within you. Use music to access them. So perhaps I will incorporate more chants and music in my podcast. So I developed this method for doing divination many years ago. Part of it comes from my work with shadows and light in consciousness. So you focus a lot of attention to pull the right card, have it on top, but then what you haven't been looking at all is what's on the bottom. There's a message for you as well. So what other methods can you use for divination in the year to come? Another method that I like is the three-card reading. I shuffle with the idea of getting messages from the past to take into the future. So I will pull a card for the past, reflect on that, shuffle again, pick a card about the present. What about present circumstances and learnings can help me as I go into the new year? And then, of course, the third card is guidance about the year ahead. So the three-card method is also something that I've done a lot of work with. But one of my most favorite spreads for divination using cards is what I call the year at a glance. And for this, it's shuffling the cards and then laying out a card for each of the months in the year ahead. So there are different ways of doing this. One approach is to pick a card, eyes open, that represents yourself, and use that as the significator at the very center of the wheel. And then, as with a clock, with its 12 numbers, then the first card you pull is in the 1 o'clock position for January, 2, February, 3, March, and on until you come up to 12, December. And sometimes I will pick a final card for guidance for the year as a whole, which I'll put in the center above the significator. So those are some examples of divination that you can do on New Year's Eve to guide you as you go into the new year. Now, besides working with cards, some people prefer other methods. They use runes and draw a rune, or draw a rune for past, present, and future, or draw a rune for each of the months. Now, if you're going to use runes and you have a set number of runes for that, then you put the runes in your bag, or if you use bag method or a cauldron, if you use cauldron, if the rune stone, some people have rune cards, then once you've picked one for each month, put it back in and shuffle them all up again and then pull that way. So that way you have all the runes as possibilities for each of the months in the year. But there's ways to scry. Scry into smoke, scry into the fire, scry into water, scry into herbs that you stir up in a bowl and look, or tea leaf divination, or looking into a crystal or a crystal ball. Scrying in a fire is something that is not across culture. And fires have been big parts of New Year's celebrations of many types. I celebrate 3 New Years. I celebrate the spiritual New Year in the Circle Craft tradition, which is Samhain, the end of October, beginning of November. I celebrate the solar New Year at winter solstice and celebrate the calendar New Year as we go into the beginning of January. And some of the traditions involving fire are connected with each of those. So you might want to kindle a candle to represent lighting the way into the new year. Or if you can kindle a fire in a hearth or in a fire bowl safely, or if you're in a place where you have a big bonfire outside, how fabulous is that? One of the names for New Year's Eve and the celebration of the coming of the new calendar year is Hogmanay, and this comes from Scotland, Yuletide and New Year traditions. While many people don't know what Hogmanay is and never heard that, most people know the Hogmanay song. For all acquaintance be forgot. Yes, Auld Lang Syne is the Hogmanay song, and it's been around for a while. And now people across cultures, across nations, use that as a song to bring in the new year. So another fabulous way to enjoy New Year's Eve is with music. Chants that you create yourself, or find some ritual chanting, or some instrumental music that you enjoy, or watching a performance online, on television, listening to it on radio and podcasts. There's a variety of ways to bring music into your New Year's Eve. And then, at the stroke of midnight, a local time, to be able to sing songs. Well, Auld Lang Syne is a song that has been part of my Hogmanay celebrations, New Year's Eve celebrations, for many, many Yes, so I am back on internet radio, and I am delighted we don't have a snowstorm tonight because I'm actually getting the live stream to work on my Selena Fox updates Facebook page. And thank all of you who are watching live on Facebook for putting in your hearts and your likes and all those, as well as your comments, because what that's doing is letting me know that the internet is sufficiently working that I am continuing to be live with all of you. So I do think there is something very magical about New Year's Eve, and part of it is being able to take stock of ourselves, of our circumstances, of our country, of our world, of our universe, and to do prayers and practices for improvement, for appreciation, for letting good fortune, good health, prosperity, and other wonderful things to come in. Yes, as we conclude a calendar year and begin a new calendar year, it's an opportunity for a reset. And to be able to find a way psychologically, energetically, spiritually, to do a reset. Certainly, many people have had, as part of their New Year's Eve celebrations, the opportunity to gather in large groups of people. And this year, we have the opportunity to change that tradition up, to actually be with large groups of people and smaller groups of people in cyberspace. Safer that way, and in inner space. So something that I would invite you to do as it turns midnight, local time, wherever you are, is not only to go, Happy New Year, and whether it's just you there, or you have your household all gathered, your family all gathered, you and your partner, whatever your circumstances are in your home, but to also recognize that you are part of a great human community that's all in celebration. So not only being able to connect in cyberspace, but in inner space with that consciousness. And clearly being able to have music is part of that. Making sounds and joyful, exuberant expressions is wonderful as well as traditional. Now, something that some people do on New Year's Eve as the midnight approaches is to make sounds to dispel the old year and to welcome in the new year. So whether you have a lines out here. They're old copper lines, and well, we thought we had it fixed, but I guess we're having an opportunity to problem solve. So, sounds, make joyful noises, dispel the old and welcome in the new. Now, some people like to ring bells. Well, I've got my jingle bell wand, one of them. Or something that I also use in connection with New Year's Eve events is my singing bowl. And I use this as part of ritual practices within nature spirituality traditions. But this has actually become an interreligious singing bowl. It really comes out of Japan. That's where this originated and was gifted to me many years ago. And it has connections with the Buddhist tradition as well as Shinto. And yet, I've taken it around the world and played this wonderful sound at a variety of interreligious gatherings. And so it's an international interreligious singing bowl. And so you can sound the bell, or you can play a singing bowl as midnight comes on. And as you do, you may want to join in the sound and do some toning. Or what I'm likely to do is to have a series of musical expressions, not only the auld lang syne, playing the singing bowl, and some type of percussion instrument to welcome in the new year. But another song that has become traditional for many people now is a more recent song by John Lennon, Imagine. And the idea of people singing together, whether you are physically present or not, but singing together and envisioning together a better world is something that can bring cheer not only to yourself and those around you, but to that larger community of which we are all part. Now, some people like to watch television or various shows that are live streamed. We're in a place where we have to rely on TV because we only get our satellite, our internet by satellite. So we're a little more limited in terms of our video viewing choices. But I'm sure if you have really good internet and streaming services, I'm sure you can watch people welcome in the new year every hour on the hour pretty much tomorrow, because around the world there are different time zones. So one of the things that I do is I'll have the television on every bit. I watch CNN and BBC and some of the other channels that actually show various municipalities in different countries bringing in the new year. And there not only can be music connected with these displays, but often there are lights, fireworks, and joy. And it's so amazing to watch the new year come in from around the world on New Year's Eve through television and internet. So you might go onto YouTube or one of the other streaming services. You might look at television as New Year's Eve comes on and be appreciative of the joy of the commonality of humankind welcoming in the new year. And clearly, as we welcome in this new year, there are many things to wish for and to collaborate with to bring in joy and celebration. So what I'd like to do now is share with you some more ways to celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. There is a beverage known as wassail. And depending on who's making it and what time period, it is a drink. The wassail I make has an apple cider base and a non-alcoholic apple cider base, so it's more universal, and I warm it and put in cinnamon and cloves and allspice and nutmeg, and sometimes I put in a bit of orange and blackberries we've harvested in July and some other ingredients. And when I've had parties, pre-pandemic Hogmanay parties, I've had those adults who want the alcoholic version to add their alcohol to their wassail. So that way, the young people and those who are in recovery from alcohol addiction can have the wassail without having to deal with the alcohol, and those that want the alcohol can do it. So that's how I handle that one. But wassail is the name of a drink. It's a name of a toast that you can hold your drink up, wassail, and toast, because it means be well or to your health. And it's also a practice. So something else with wassailing is you can go out to the apple orchard on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. There are different times to do the wassailing of the apple orchard depending on where you're at and where the orchard is and the climate conditions, all sorts of things. But one of the days that is connected with wassailing is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And to actually go out to an orchard, pouring some wassail around the roots of the most prominent and best producer of apples in the orchard. So around that tree, and then taking a bit of toast, that's right, an actual piece of toast that you have, dip it in the wassail, and then put it on the fork of the tree. And sometimes, I was at one wassailing celebration in the neighborhood a number of years ago where everybody had a chance to take a bit of the toast and actually tie it on the main apple tree in the orchard. So that's another tradition. So you may want to drink wassail, wassail with your neighbors, and you may want to wassail an orchard, or do it in your imagination if you're in a place where you need to stay at home due to the pandemic. So wassail is a drink and a greeting and an activity that you can do. Some people like to toast as the midnight hour happens. So whether it's mead in a drinking horn or wine in a glass or champagne or beer or some other drink or a wassail or some chocolate milk, that can be good too. To be able to make a toast, drinking toast greeting at the moment of midnight. And of course, there is the sharing of affection. Well, many people are going to have their New Year's Eve gatherings via Zoom or some other video chat service, Facebook Rooms, Google Duo, there's all sorts of options out there. And if that's the case, you can have everyone not only raise a glass at the midnight time, but be able to blow kisses to those who are present. One of the real problems with the pandemic is that COVID-19, as with so many other viruses that humans and creatures have had to put up with over the years, they mutate. And right now, there is a mutant strain that is spreading much more rapidly than the original strains. Now, it's pretty normal for viruses to mutate, but when you get a mutation that really is a super spreader, and part of what happens with that is many people who get exposed and then start contracting the virus are asymptomatic. So they don't even know they have it. And then if you go into an indoor gathering with people, even if there aren't that many people, if you're sharing the airspace and somebody, even one person, has the virus, everyone can get exposed. And some who get it may get really, really sick. So I do encourage you all to find some safe, social distance, masked ways of being able to bring in the new year if you are making a choice to go and be with others. But really keep your distance and keep your mask on. Now, I know that's hard if you're trying to drink, but I think a much better solution is to gather in cyberspace and inner space until it's safe to gather face-to-face, so that we can actually move into the new year in a safer way and in a way that hopefully we can move beyond all of the challenges that the COVID-19 virus has brought humankind and the world, not only energetically and health-wise, but economically, politically, and all those other ways. So what are some other ways to bring in the new year on New Year's Eve? Some cultures and spiritual traditions have particular foods that are served at a New Year's Eve party or served up on New Year's Day. Now, I'm from the South, and one of The traditions is black-eyed peas for good luck or collard greens. I know in some Asian countries, noodles and eating noodles on New Year's Day is considered good fortune. In Spain and in some places in the Spanish-speaking world, eating 12 grapes at the stroke of midnight as you go into the new year brings good fortune to each of those 12 months of the year. So as you can tell, there's a wide variety of traditions. Now, I'm part Scottish. Yes, I'm a true American hybrid patchwork quilt, a ornate and multicolored tapestry of ancestral heritages and traditions. And for my Scottish roots, I've come to appreciate a number of Hogmanay traditions, not just singing Auld Lang Syne and kindling big fires on fires. And Edinburgh, Scotland has Hogmanay in the streets in non-pandemic years. This year, they are having Hogmanay online for 3 days and three nights. So check it out on the web. And there's other places that will be celebrating online that used to gather in person, including New York City. That wonderful crystal-laden ball will come down via television, even though not too many people are going to be allowed. They're actually closing the streets off and only allowing some first responders and socially distanced to come and watch it in the restricted zone. But first footing is something that comes out of the Hogmanay tradition that I'd like to share with you. The idea is after midnight, the first person to come into your home, that you welcome into your home, brings gifts. And I've done first footing with some friends in the past over years. In fact, when I have Hogmanay parties at my own home, I often will get it prearranged who's going to first foot into the house after midnight. Well, there's stuff about hair color and gender and other things that are caught up with whether this is lucky or not. I am a much more welcoming of diversity factor, and it used to be having somebody who's dark-haired because there was some, I have some Viking blood as well, and so some folks really didn't want a Viking coming across their door at first footing time. So if you had blonde hair, that wasn't considered real lucky. But right now, there's all sorts of hair colors, and I don't even think there's any tradition about gray-haired people going in, but I still have some dark hair. So sometimes I first foot our own home. The idea is that the person to come into your home brings some gifts. Something for the fireplace for keeping you warm. And, of course, there's the alcoholic, the alcohol tradition of Scotch, some whiskey coming in, and some cakes made of oatmeal. And so you might want to have that tradition as part of it, combining not only some food and beverage, but also the tradition of welcoming somebody into your home on the first day of the new year. Well, given the fact that a lot of us need to stay at home due to the pandemic, I would invite you to consider a virtual first footing and call up someone or prearrange that they will FaceTime you or message you right after midnight, and you can welcome them into your home that way. So one of the great things about customs and traditions, it does provide continuity from year to year to year, and that can be a good thing, but traditions do evolve on their own, and when there is a necessity, as there is in 2020, it allows us to really tap into creativity and come up with some additional things. So I would invite you to consider a variety of ways to welcome in the new year on New Year's Eve. Something else that I should share before signing off is the idea of charitable giving. And a number of nonprofit organizations, as well as small businesses and other endeavors, have had some struggles in this 2020 calendar year, this pandemic time. In the United States, if you make donations before the end of the calendar year, so tonight or tomorrow is your opportunity, by December 31st, then you can write that off on your taxes. And I know there's been all sorts of changes in the American tax laws and that type of thing, so you'll have to check in with your accountant or do some research on it, but it's still a good idea to contribute to causes that you believe in and support. And I'm not only mentioning this because Circle Sanctuary is one of those nonprofit organizations making this podcast and other podcasts possible, as well as doing work with pagan religious freedom work and networking and education and ceremonies. We do a lot of work for free for people. So I certainly invite you to contribute to Circle Sanctuary, but I also want to put this in a more widespread way so that you consider who you've given to in the past and consider renewing that gift at this time of year. And if you aren't able to contribute funds to an organization or endeavor that you support, well, share their link with others. Do some social media networking on behalf or word of mouth sharing. So it is traditional to help support others in need at this time of year, and that is a way to do that. And what are some other ways that you can celebrate New Year's Eve? I think the expression of Happy New Year is time-tested and good. To express Happy New Year to those you know, send an email, do a text, do a video chat, depending on what your preferred method of communication is and the person or persons you're reaching out to. I would especially invite you to share greetings of New Year blessings with people that you know who live alone, for elderly people, for people that are socially isolated, and for those that may have lost a loved one in this year now passing. Being able to express New Year's blessings and how you do your greeting, you have to kind of tune into the person you're reaching out to come up with a good way to say it. You know, if somebody has just lost a loved one, you may not want to say Happy New Year. You might say, well wishes of the new year, support to you, may 2021 bring you comfort and healing and joy. So there's different ways to phrase your greetings. But I do think New Year's Eve and New Year's Day across traditions has been a time for connections and expressing of love and affection and support. And it can be a powerful time for envisioning something different and better, not only coming into your life personally and into your workplace, into your place of education, into your local community, your spiritual community, in your nation, into the world. I do think that this is a time where we as humankind can have the common ground of welcoming in the new calendar year, but to also put out well wishes. So one of my favorite techniques is to get an image of the planet. Now, this is my one of my favorite images because inside I actually have a crystal that I've taken to interreligious gatherings and other places. And this came from a gift shop of an aquarium out west. My husband got it for me many, many years ago. But it's an image of the world as a whole, and I do think as we think about planet Earth, let us find good ways not only to bring about peace on Earth, but cooperation and collaboration, not only amongst humans, but to bring about greater wellness for humankind itself and the greater circle of nature of which we are all part. So you may want to hold an image of the Earth in your hand, or get an image, a photograph. Some of the NASA photographs that have been taken on moon missions are available on the web. You might want to run one of those off and just have it present. And think about the Earth as your home and as a community of life, and to do some good New Year's Eve and New Year's Day well-wishing for planet Earth. I am so thankful for all of you who have been watching live and who will be watching later. And thanks to all of you on CSNP who have tuned in to the podcast. And thank you to David and Jeanette Ewing, who do engineering and station management, and to our whole team, which includes other Circle Sanctuary ministers, Deborah Rose from Kentucky and Laura Gonzalez from Chicago. And Casey Pope, who does our social media. I want to thank our whole team for all of your help with podcasting over the past year and networking. I want to thank everyone who's watching now and later, and to Circle Sanctuary for all of its good works for converging communities and making connections. May we find good ways as we go into this new calendar year of working together for a happier, healthier planet Earth and cosmos. So, I wish you Happy New Year! Be well, be safe, be blessed with love, and may we all support each other as we work together for happier realities in the time to come. Thank you all, and I hope to do some more celebration on my Selena Fox updates Facebook page and other social media. And for those of you who want a full moon ceremony that's New Year divination focused, well, last night we had our full moon circle, and it's up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel, and a shout out to our team that made that possible. I joined in spirit. I was in the middle of a snowstorm, so neither my internet nor my phone worked, but I was there in spirit and so glad that that happened. So there's another way to celebrate New Year and full moon. Bright blessings. Attune to the full moon and bring cheer into the new year. So be it.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.